I'm speaking with Syed Hussain. Syed Hussain is a member of No One Is Illegal in Toronto. He is also involved with the Coalition for Change, Caregiver and Temporary Workers. Hussain, welcome to No One Is Legal Radio.
Hi, thank you.
Hussain, you're active in opposing some proposed regulations that are going to go into effect very soon, in just a little over than a month. These regulations affect temporary workers. Describe for our listeners what exactly the Canadian government is attempting to do vis-a-vis temporary work programs and temporary workers.
Yeah, maybe I'll start by laying out what the temporary worker program is for folks who may not entirely know. So the temporary foreign worker program in Canada essentially consists of three streams. There's the live-in caregiver program, there's the seasonal agricultural worker program, and then there's something called the temporary foreign worker program, occupation classifications A, B, C, and D. A and B are considered quote-unquote high-skilled, and C and D are considered quote-unquote low-skilled. Now, in total, in 2008, we had nearly 250,000 people enter the temporary, enter the labor market as temporary workers. That number is higher than the number of people who have access to permanent residency. I mean, who are able to apply, who actually applied for it. Not certain whether all of them will get citizenship. Now, within the temporary foreign worker program, C and D, which is affects about 100,000 people or more a year, because we're seeing dramatic increases. There were two regulations, and essentially the regulation was that you worked in the country for 8 months, and then you could leave for 4 months, and then come back after every 8 months at the end of the season, etc. And then what we've seen is two regulations have just come down into on the 9th of October, and they basically, the first one says that people can stay in the country indefinitely, right? So they don't have to leave for 4 months. But the next one says is at the point where they are cumulatively been in the country for 4 years, they then cannot re-enter the country for 6 years. So what it is it's a four-year-long deportation permit. You stay in the country for 4 years, you work, you may be able to build relationships, have friendships, be able to unionize, organize, but at the end of 4 years, all of that is ended and you have to leave. And so it's essentially entrenching the permanent, precarity and temporariness as much as is humanly possible.
This is all being done through regulatory changes, not through any act of legislation, from what I understand.
Yes, and that's one of the biggest problems. This is entirely undemocratic, the little that means, and it's completely non-transparent. Any change can essentially be issued through a regulation. And we see the same thing with the refugee numbers. I'm sure you've noticed just last week, Kenny comes out and says, well, we're going to cut refugee numbers from 22,000 to 9,000. He can just come out and say, we're going to change this. And the process is really crazy. What it is essentially, it gets published on a website, the Canada Gazette, and then you have 60 days to respond to it. And so this, and usually what we've seen with regulations is that people send submissions and the Tories just throw them away. And this time, we're not going to let it go quietly. So we're calling, we've written a statement that's been endorsed by organizations around the country. It's on our website, and we're asking people to sign it. There's a petition attached. We're asking people to sign the petition, and we're calling for a National Day of Action on the 1st of December to let the government know, let the Tories, and you know, none of the MPs have spoken out against it. It's this really quiet issue. And so we're calling for a day of action because this is undemocratic. It's completely not transparent, and it's completely opposite to the demands we've been putting out, which is permanent status on landing for all people.
The phrase that people often use is good enough to work, good enough to stay. And you have situations where some migrant workers have worked here 8 months a year, 9 months a year for up to two decades and still can't claim any status. Mm-hmm. And this is the direction in which immigration policy is moving into. So could you talk a bit more about that? The fact that other classes of immigration that people have tended to access, family class, or just simply immigrating here and working here and then staying here, a very simple process, is now being moved into this temporary status. And even that temporary status is becoming even more precarious. Talk about the logic behind that and that dynamic.
Of course. first, I just want to say the problem, like, you know, the call has been good enough to work, good enough to stay for a very long time. But what that does is that it says that rights are essentially connected to one's labor, right? So if you're able to work, if you're, you know, quote-unquote able-bodied and like slave in this capitalist system, then you may have a right to stay, which does disenfranchise a lot of people. I mean, part of the reason people get deported, so we know, for example, in Alberta, where temporary workers are coming into work on the tar sands and are getting hurt and are being deported because they don't have the right of status. It's the same in Manitoba, where people do not get nominated for the provincial nominee program if it seems that they're not able to work. And I think that is the logic, right? The logic is that we want people's bodies. We want them for a very specific period of time, but we don't want their spirit. We don't want their relationships, their ideas, their beings, right? And people are essentially being commodified. And you're right. It's across the board, right? So what we're seeing is that refugee numbers have been cut, permanent residency numbers have been cut. The family reunification program, just in the last 2 years, has seen 60% cutbacks in its funding. The IRB doesn't have, you know, enough hires in it. And essentially, what it is that we're moving towards a quote-unquote guest worker program, except guests are never treated like this, right? And it's part of an international switch. So the International Organization of Migration and the Global Forum for Migration and Development just have started meeting in the last 2 years, and they're designing the new way that they say people should move. And what it is that certain rich industrialized countries can mediate and control their populations by ensuring that there's a pool of people, labor they call it, that can come in and ensure that prices stay low for for producers. And then whenever necessary, these people can be deported. And this system is being entrenched, and we see it, you know, across Europe. We see it in the United States, and we see it in Canada. Canada is actually the global front runner for these programs. These are the models everybody else wants to follow, and I think part of the reason is because it is so vicious. It is so vitriolic. It can so easily, you know, just like brush people away. And I think the logic is the logic that people are scared about, there is, you know, a large amount of xenophobia that's been created around migrants, which has already been happening. But then all of this talk about climate change plays into it, right? It's this idea that everybody's coming to these quote-unquote safe havens that are responsible for destroying the world, and now these places are closing their borders. And I think it's really important for us to be able to fight back.
Hassan, this is part of a trend under Jason Kenney, although it's part of a consistent trend by all immigration ministers, whether liberal or conservative. Mm-hmm. Recently, here in Montreal, we tried to confront Jason Kenney. We presented him with a specific case of a Mexican woman named Grisa who was murdered in Mexico after twice trying to claim refugee status. Right. And I'm wondering at this stage, and what we did was very symbolic and was, you know, it was very least that we could do, but it's obviously not changing policy. You have a lot of groups who are behind this coalition that's come together against these regulatory changes, but what do we need to be doing to actually get these policies back to where they have to be, which is towards status for all policies, towards policies that that provide people with basic dignity?
Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing, you know, a two-part fight. I mean, we've been put on the back foot where we're being pushed back and seeing having to fight for, you know, rights we had and or we thought we were moving towards, right? So the refugee system is being dismantled. You know, further backtracking is happening in terms of the family reunification programs and the temporary work programs. So we see ourselves sort of on the back foot, and too often the instant urges is to just push back and try and reestablish what we believe already existed at the quote-unquote federal level. And I think that's really important, but what we also need to be doing is to, I guess, surge forward, right, and be very, very clear on what sort of communities we need to build. And I think particularly what that means is when necessary to take to the streets, when necessary doing, you know, creating spaces that are free of immigration enforcement, but largely to talk about what is it that we can do collectively. So here in Toronto, what we've done is we've gone after schools, for starters, and that schools must be accessible to non-status children. And today, Toronto is the only city in the country where non-status children are able to access schools. We then went after and alongside anti-VAW spaces, and today almost all of them are accessible to non-status people. We're doing the same work with health. We're doing the same work in food banks. And what we're trying to build is that no matter what the federal laws are, no matter what the federal policies are, we will make sure that their implementation, which is done by people, will be done differently. That we will create spaces that are safe, that are just, and that ensure dignity for all people. And so that is part of essentially creating a new language, a new way where our energies are not just focused on trying to change federal systems, because I'm not sure we can get a lot from these people, right? I think, but what we can do is to make it impossible for them to enforce their, you know, horrible laws. What we can do is we can change their, we can change the way we think about these things. So I think it's particularly the work of cultural producers, people who are artists, who are writers, who are comic makers, who are illustrators, who are musicians, who are journalists, right? People, you know, with large friendship circles, people who throw parties, DJs, to try and include this talk, because there is so much rhetoric that has to be countered, and we have to create a counter mythology. We have this myth of the illegal worker, we have this myth of the terrorist, we have this myth of, you know, the welfare recipient, and all of these myths need to be shattered, and we need to create another story, a story that includes us, and that story must be taken up by all of us and said really loudly and articulated really well, but put out, you know, in a very conscious effort. I think people can come together and write books, create music. And those are really, and that is the work that supports, you know, the sort of organizing that it takes to, you know, find Jason Kenney on a street corner or to do a street takeover. And I think we're entering a very dramatic year. Like, you know, 2010 is going to see the GAG20 meetings. It's going to see a federal election in Canada. Here in Toronto, we'll have mayoral elections. Unite Here is doing a walkout in the city. QP is doing province-wide strikes. There is the Winter Olympics. I mean, people are going to be energized in its time. And we're in the midst of a recession. And we have to take people's anger, take people's fears, and take people's hopes and bring them together. And, you know, move forward.
Hassan, thank you for taking the time to speak with us on No One's Legal Radio.
Okay. Thank you so much.